Time has come for the season of light and life and love, the time when the god of the pagan traditions gives way to the goddess, when goodness reigns across the land and all mortality celebrates the vibrance of creation and evolution. This Thursday is the summer solstice, as you have already heard, also known in some pagan traditions as Litha. It was called Midsummer in ancient Europe and Great Britain because it falls midway between the beginning of May and the beginning of August, which is how they defined summer. Litha marks the peak of solar energy, which is thought of in many traditions as masculine, in the wheel of the year. And at the moment of the solstice, the sun has reached the point above the Earth's surface farthest north of the equator and is neither waxing nor waning, but at a standstill, as if the sun itself were enjoying the moment, the peak experience, and resistant to declining. The sun has reached the midpoint of the solar year exactly opposite the winter solstice. Daylight shines longer on this day than any other, and each day has been longer than the last since the winter solstice, and noticeably so since the spring equinox. The coming months will bring shorter days and less solar energy and longer nights, and yet the growing season continues, as does the heat. In the coming months, the goddess will again reign and step before the god, just as the moon eclipses the sun. The summer solstice has been celebrated for thousands of years. That little book has all these great little stories about different cultures, ancient and modern, and how they celebrate the summer solstice. Ancient structures like Stonehenge have tracked the arrival and the departure of the summer solstice for more than 6,000 years. There are standing stone circles in North and South America, as well as Europe, that line up the point of sunrise on the solstice with a marker stone. The tradition of honoring this peak of masculine energy, the peak of the sun god's power, and of celebrating such an auspicious day has always included fire. A huge, and we talk about fire several times during the year, but this is the time in the pagan wheel that fire is the most prominent. A huge fire with flames burning many, many feet into the air couldn't be more appropriate as a symbol of power and masculinity and action and life and change, right? Ancient peoples often built solstice bonfires on hilltops so the fires could be seen throughout the land. In the time of the ancient Celts, the archdruid lit the fires at sunset the night before the solstice. And upon seeing those flames, the other druids around the countryside would light their own fires, passing the message that the solstice had arrived. And for the next 36 hours, the night, the coming day, and the following night, the Celtic communities celebrated this solstice. So even though all eight Sabbats incorporate fire into their festivals, this element is most prominent now. It's most easily seen and immediately felt as an element of transformation, which is why we talk about it so much. It can consume, it can burn, it can cook, it can make light, it can purify. And because of its heat, it's most intimately associated with that midsummer hot, hot sun. Because of the sun's obvious role at midsummer, this was a time of fire rituals and fire festivals throughout Western Europe. Balefires still in modern day figure prominently at midsummer rites. And around the flames, there are festivities and rituals like Madison's street fairs, without the food carts, probably. Ritual celebrations often included jumping through the flames of that bonfire to encourage the newly sprouted crops to grow taller. Couples hoping for babies ran through the flames holding hands. Amulets or charms that were thought to have served their purpose or lost their effectiveness were tossed into the bonfires, since disposing of them in any other way guaranteed 12 months of bad luck. In some areas, two fires would burn side by side, and farm animals were driven between them to banish any evil they might have acquired and protect them in the coming months. Children passed between fires, adults passed through fires, In some places, once the fires had burned and just coals remained, people would celebrate the peak of these natural solar energies by walking barefoot across those burning embers in purification and protection rites. Another natural symbol of this season is wildflowers and other kinds of flowers, representing the sun at the height of its power, as well as that energy that the living things on our earth take from the sun, representing the abundance with which we are blessed this season. Active growing energy is strong in living things right now. It can be seen in our gardens, our lawns, our forests. The trees are fully leafed out, and the leaves are processing that solar energy to make their food, which will be stored over the winter. And we can revel in the abundant energy of life and love in this season of light and warmth. Family gatherings, summer picnics, vacations, time spent outdoors, all of these are ways where we bring this abundant sun energy into our lives. We can fill ourselves and each other with these different kinds of summer energy and begin to store it in our own roots as winter's shorter days and colder temperatures begin to approach. It is true, winter is coming. Just like the four elements of earth and air and fire and water, the god and goddess of pagan tradition are personifications of our own traits, symbols of those attributes that make us human. So when we celebrate the peak of the god's power, as seen in the longest day of the year, we're really celebrating our own strength, our ability to rise up again and again, our ability to feel and enjoy our bodies, our ability to see our blessings and hold gratitude for them, our ability to shine our lights out into a world that so badly needs that warmth and brightness, to share our blessings with each other. In this time and in this world, as we face daily onslaughts of hate and fear and a big dose of fear around scarcity, it's so important to remember that there is also abundance in nature and in our nature. That we hold an abundance of warmth and of brightness. As J.T. wrote, the world within echoes the world without. And so to recognize and affirm this time and presence of abundance, I want to invite you to join in a way we can practice a sharing of blessings, to offer each other strength and courage and love. I'm borrowing this idea from the Reverend Erica Hewitt and the method from my friend and colleague Suzelle Lynch, who calls it a blender exercise. Don't worry, there's no blades. So there's a piece of paper tucked into your order of service, and there are pencils tucked underneath some of the seats that you can share if you need one. And I'd like you to take those out now. If you need paper, let us know. Don't do anything yet, though. Please don't write your name on your paper. And know that these papers will be distributed among you. I'll invite you in a few moments to complete the two sentences on your paper, but first I want you to know what will happen with them. I'll be asking you to exchange your paper with others who won't read it until several rounds of exchange have happened. They'll be opened eventually, but they won't be read aloud. So I invite you to start by meditating for just a moment on what it is you have in abundance. What blessings do you have that you can offer the world? And on what you might need. And then complete the two sentences written on your paper. Take your time. We'll be quiet. When you're finished, fold your paper up. And when it looks like everyone's finished, I'll sound the singing bowl and give you some more instructions. So in a moment, I'll ask you to stand if you're willing and able and exchange papers with someone. If you're not able to stand or move around the sanctuary, please sit and hold your paper up. And if you see someone doing this, please exchange papers with them. Don't say anything to each other. Just look briefly at each other, give a nod of gratitude if you like, and then move around and exchange again and again and again until you're done or you hear the music stop, whichever comes first. Go ahead. Thank you, my friends. If you haven't already, please return to your seat. You are holding someone else's need and their offering. So take a moment to open your paper. If you haven't yet, read those words. You don't know who wrote them. They could belong to the person you admire most in this community or the person who annoys you the most. They could have been written by the person sitting next to you or someone clear on the other side of the room. No matter, take the words in. Take a moment to offer up loving kindness to the person who wrote them. Please take this piece of paper with you when you leave today. Put it somewhere you'll see it again, maybe next to that little vase with your flower communion flower that's now drooping. Put it somewhere you'll see it again over the week. When you do, imagine that unknown person and their gifts and their need and send them your blessing. Keep holding them in your heart all week long. If for some reason you don't feel up to doing that, please give me your paper after service, and I will hold their gifts and their needs in my own practice this week. Let us move forward, our hearts and our lives interconnected in radical, transformative, life-giving ways. Remembering the abundance of this season and the abundance within that we hold and we can share, blessed by this community of caring. May it be so, and may we be so.